You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Although this morning's CPI numbers show that inflation may have peaked, the cost of food continues to be disproportionately high. Statistics New Zealand is telling us that the increase to food prices is the highest it's been in 13 years at 8.3%. For my weekly catch-up with the National Party's Dr. Shane Retty, we spoke about the issue of food inflation as well as last week's He Waka Eke Noa announcement. I first asked Shane where this inflation is coming from and why it's so concerning for food prices in particular.
So what we know from the data last week is that over the past year, average food prices have gone up by about 8% and almost double that for fruit and vegetables. And that's making it really hard for New Zealanders to basically put food on their table. The policy settings are really challenging. We're hearing from constituents regularly saying, Shane, I'm paying $10 for a cabbage. Is that for real? When did we start doing that? And if we look at some of the causes to that, there are policy settings that have some influence. And one of the key ones is the labour shortage, the widespread labour shortages that we have and bottlenecks in the economy that are arising from failed immigration settings. And this is passing through into domestic inflation, which we have some control of. This is not offshore fuel-related inflation. This is domestic inflation. And so some of the policy settings that we have are contributing to these very high food prices.
So what is your plan to address these settings to make sure that New Zealanders can all afford to eat, and especially eat healthily?
So we've said two things. First of all, we would index the tax brackets to inflation, giving New Zealanders more money in their pockets, more disposable income. And then secondly, we've been very clear on the immigration settings, that we would base the immigration settings on need, critical industries. We would relax the immigration settings. I mean, obviously in health, it's not food related, but we would position internationally qualified nurses into a day one pathway to residency. Very late in the piece for RSD workers to be expanded. We'd have done that a lot sooner, pleased to see it happen, but that's a direct immigration setting relationship to food production, those RSD workers that pick fruit and aid the horticultural industry.
Some amount of the blame seems to often get directed towards the major supermarkets. Do you believe that the lack of competition for Foodstuffs and Woolworths is behind any amount of this inflation? And if so, how might this be addressed?
So the Commerce Commission inquiry into supermarket monopolies was the question they were raising, did suggest that it is a monopoly and not healthy for competition. And so I was pleased to see some of the suggestions which they have brought forward. So as far as we can determine a contributor, probably a small contributor compared to workforce shortages, but a contributor that's being addressed by the Commerce Commission.
Do you believe that more assistance needs to be given to low-income New Zealanders in particular to ensure that they can afford the kinds of foods necessary for a balanced diet?
So this is what changing or indexing the tax brackets would do. It would give New Zealanders more disposable income where they could make healthier food choices. And so to answer your question, yes, well, whatever we need to do for the most vulnerable so that they can have food choices and healthy food choices, those are the sort of policy settings we're interested in.
The National Party has announced its opposition to their He Waka Eke Noa announcement around the reduction of agricultural emissions. Exactly what parts of this plan do you see to be problematic and why?
So we're concerned, first of all, we're broadly supportive of the carbon zero target. We have been for a while, but we're concerned that He Waka Eke Noa, as it was announced last week, will have a significant impact on sheep and beef farming particularly, potentially reducing them by a fifth over 5 years. So we're concerned with the mechanisms towards that goal, and that's where our opposition springs from.
How do you believe the plan might affect the current cost of living crisis in New Zealand?
Look, our sense is that if we're going to reduce sheep and beef farming, that first of all, potentially less income into local economies, and that secondly, less income from export dollars. If that is the case, all of that would make the cost of living more expensive. So there could indeed be a flow-through effect to rural communities and to wider New Zealand by the proposals in He Waka Eke Noa.
How committed to reducing agricultural emissions is the National Party, and how would you go about achieving this as an alternative to what was announced?
So absolutely committed. We have been from day one on our responsibilities that we understand for climate change. What we do believe is that those who are in the industry are best placed to advise and help us collaborate with central government towards the goals we all want to achieve. Farmers want to achieve the same goals that we do. It's just how we get there that is different. And we strongly believe that we should be placing significant voice on those who are actually in the sector and collaborate more effectively than Te Waka Eke Noa has towards the mechanism that will achieve our climate ambitions.
Do you have any sense of what such a mechanism might look like in such a way that it wouldn't reduce agricultural output by a fifth, as you say the current plan might?
So what we've heard from farmers is that if there's a longer transition period and if we invest heavily into technology, that there are mechanisms there where we can progress towards the climate emission goals. So those are two policy settings that we'd be looking at. What is a transition period? Is it a reasonable time frame to achieve those objectives? And exactly what is required in research and development technology to give farmers the tools to achieve those goals? The agricultural and horticulture sector are disappointed with, that is that some of the tree planting, riparian, etc., that they do hedgerows, for example, that are on farms are not taken into account as carbon sequesters. And so this is something that we think should be taken into account as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.